Welcome to Revelation Warning, a weekly podcast hosted by Pastor Robert Thibodeau as he interviews prophecy experts from around the world as we discuss current events in relation to Bible prophecy. All of this is to give the world a final Revelation Warning. Now, here is your host with this week's guest, Pastor Robert Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Robert Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Revelation Warning Podcast. We are so blessed that you're joining us here today. You know, in the face of the decline and fall of America, it becomes crucial to discern and confront the spiritual forces that are shaping our world today. And this concern extends beyond the realms of believers to encompass non-believers who are now witnessing all these changes as well. And the resurgence of ancient demonic experiences as spirits as forewarned in biblical texts emerges as potential architects, basically, behind the unraveling of our culture and the transformative shifts that are being seen in the media. The fabric of today's society and of modern culture bears the imprint of these wicked spirits, exemplified by the proliferation of occult practices and emphasized by the spirit of sexuality influencing gender issues that we see going on. All of these things work together, not for good, but for evil. And a discernible spiritual battle rages on, marking a need for revival in this nation in the name of Jesus. To navigate through these challenges, we have to dismantle these strongholds, live guided lies by the Holy Spirit, and invoke the name of Jesus amidst the backdrop of America's decline and fall, because we are living in the last of the last days. And to help us review some of the recent things emerging is our good friend, Tom Donnan. He's back with us today to discuss these things. And Tom, it's so good to talk to you again as we dive into what I shared in the opening, the decline and fall of America.
Yes. Oh, we always have a good conversation, and I do enjoy having our talks, you know, our chats. And the thing is that sometimes it kind of like burns inside me because I see it. I want other people to see what's going on. Sometimes I get frustrated because the people that I'm talking to in my circles, you know, either they don't care or they don't get it. But what's happening, though, now is that we have talked about this. And we say, it says that, okay, stuff's happening, but it's not reaching people. But then something new happens, and then more people are reached, and more people are reached, and more people are reached, and it's affecting them. Now it's to the point where you can't deny it now. We got problems.
Amen. Yeah. Amen. Yeah. Amen. Well, let's start with the main stabilizing force in our country, which is, or was, the church. The church has lost its influence in the culture of this nation right now. One way we can verify that is because of the drastic decline in church attendance. You've heard us, you know, we've talked about this before. When I was growing up, almost every church, the parking lot was almost full. And now they're almost empty. You know, and what have you seen on this topic?
All right. Well, it's something that's hitting close to home. And so I'm getting ready to write a new book, and it's talking about what happens when I enter into a community and I want to see the changes of God. You know, I want people to know Jesus, right? And all the good that comes with it. Because when somebody becomes born again, when they're saved, they have the Holy Spirit inside of them. And I translate that into is that the goodness of God is now inside of them. And they start making decisions and taking actions with that basis of a new relationship. And it's affecting how they move through society and the blessings that go with that. And what we are seeing is that there is the lack of people with the goodness of God in them. So now in this community where I'm doing the research is that it's been very difficult for me to get information, because what happens, intercessors need to pray for the forgiveness of sins. Now, typically that would be considered in our day like gossip. So when you're trying to find out the things that are going on inside the church, it falls into that category, which means no one wants to talk about it. So then in order to dig into it, you have to find somebody who's willing to open up and to be able to share with you so you can get the details of what's happening. So that's what I've been doing seriously for the last 2 months, but I've been looking into it for 6 months. And because of the first 4 months, I couldn't get nobody to talk to me, right? And so I would try to make appointments, and then people wouldn't get back, and emails aren't taking place, you know, being responded to. And then now all of a sudden, God has been opening up the doors for me to get the details. Amen. All right. Amen. So like we were talking earlier, is that this community has 27,000 people. Church Finder has listed 27 churches inside of this community. And so at the beginning of January, I have a home church, but I'm not going to church there on Sundays. I'll do all the other functions that I can do. But I've been visiting the churches that are in the area to be able to assess what's going on. And so what I find is that the more traditional churches where they have the celebration of the Eucharist, but that's the same, the main theme. And in that main theme, there is little word to be preached. You know, the gospel is not preached as strongly, right? Those churches are suffering more. Now, those that have the emphasis on worship and the teaching of the word, those seem to be stronger, right? But not by much, but they're stronger. And so as I'm going in there, the majority of the people that are attending church are over 50, probably over 60, right? And so there's not the youth that is in there. And so so I have four churches that are on the verge of dying. I mean, financially, they are just barely hanging on. Mm-hmm. And then you have others that are holding their own. And then you have a variety of other stuff that is happening. Now, salvations are important because when you have salvations, that is the awareness that the Holy Spirit is moving. Up until just 2 weeks ago, I had only come to the knowledge of four people being saved in this community and the people that I'm contacted with, right? And then I went to a black church that's in the south side of the community. And I was in there, and it was really interesting that God had me go on the day that they were celebrating Black History. Yeah, that was fascinating. All right. So towards the end of the service, four young people, two young men and two boys, I mean, two girls, about the age of eight, came forward. They wanted to receive salvation. And they took down their information, and they admonished them, and they're going to say, well, now we're going to have them baptized. And that was it, right? Well, at the end of almost every one of our services, we pray that people could receive Jesus as Savior and Lord. So, man, when the service was over, I went up there and I made a beeline right to the pastor. And I said, listen, I've been doing this for 20 years. And I said, you didn't pray with them for salvation. He says, well, we do that when at the point of baptism, you know. And so he had reassured me. Now, here's an interesting thing. They had a church van for the youth. They're on the verge of selling his van because they're not using it. Since the beginning of January, they have had 15 salvations in the youth. Yes. I asked them, I said, what can you contribute this to? And he was like, I don't know what to tell you, right? It's just happening. And so that was very, very inspiring. So the thing is that there is so much darkness in this community. And I've gone into the history, even back to the 1850s, maybe 1800, and the things that contributed to it. And so the thing, there's more darkness than there's light. It's like a 10-to-1 ratio. Yeah. You have so much darkness that is offsetting the goodness of God that the goodness of God and the light of God has such a hard time moving. And if it does move, then it gets squelched, right?
Yeah.
And so that's what's happening with the mass exodus. So people that are like 50 and down are really not attending. No.
Yeah.
Now, there was one church that was a significant thing, and it's a Parkview Christian Church. They have three campuses, and I had attended one because it's on the edge, the eastern edge of this community, right? They have a lot of people that are there. It's very vibrant, very alive. Now, here's a fascinating thing. The people that are attending church in this town, they seem to come in from other communities, right? And I'm thinking, well, that even makes the demographic of people who are saved in this community. Oh, no, what did I do? Did I just...
Nope, you're here. I got
you. Yeah, I don't know. I just sprung a leak. Yeah, to the point now where it's dripping on stuff. Hold on, I got to get a tissue.
Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Yeah, this is definitely something that affects communities. It affects the nation as a whole. I've been in churches where...
That's what happens when you're on blood thinners.
I've I've been in churches where, you know, the only new people that ever come to church is when someone has a baby, you know, I mean, that's about it. But, you know, that this is definitely something that, well, it's a sign of a nation in decline, you know?
Yes.
That's what it is. Amen. Now, and a nation cannot field an army. If they can't field an army to defend its borders or fight to protect the land, it's truly destined to be overrun by an opposing force. And we've been following this for a while as well with down at the border issues. Have you seen the big news story that the military is unable to meet its recruiting goals again?
Yeah, that's a fascinating thing. Okay, so, you know, we come into this woke society, right? And so it makes it very uncomfortable for the majority of the people. And so in order to want to serve their country, they're going to have to push back that, push past their own reservations, let's say, you know, because it does create a certain amount of weakness. And how can you have that strength, you know, where people, I mean, you've been in the military. I mean, There's people that they jump out of planes, you know, does that make sense? No. It's a perfectly good airplane and they're jumping out. No,
exactly.
Yeah. And so to be able to overcome that fear is an absolutely amazing thing. So you have to have that certain amount of strength. So they're having a problem with recruitment, and that's not good for us amongst all right. This other stuff that's going on. What do you think?
Oh, I agree 100%. And, you know, when, you know, you've coddled people their entire life and telling them every time they do something wrong that it's not their fault, it's somebody else's fault, and then they get the inkling to check out the military and find out, you know, you have to get up at 4 a.m.
Yeah. And
you'll do what we tell you to do, when we tell you to do it, how we tell you to do it, and how long we tell you to do it. And then maybe, just perhaps maybe, we'll give you 4 hours of sleep at the end of the day.
You know? Wow.
And if you're really lucky, 5. And, you know, the youth today, they don't want to do that. You know, they've been brought up that, you know, and since they've been growing up, that the military is bad. You know, it's part of the establishment. And, you know, I guess that's a 60s saying, but the establishment.
Yeah.
But you know, it's just, you know, a nation that can't field an army is destined to be overrun. And, you know, that's, remember your dreams? When I was looking at that video, I was thinking about the dream you had coming from the South and coming from the West Coast. Remember that?
Well, I've had several of those indicating that America is in trouble and going to be invaded, that the elitists take over. And with that combined collaboration is that foreign entities start emerging into the country. And so now with the, you know, this is, you and I have been trying to get people to, let's say, wake up, right? You know, I used to listen to my grandparents and parents because they had the wisdom and the knowledge. They would say, I would hear them say, don't do this because this will happen, right? All right, well, we don't have people that are listening anymore.
Right.
So how many years have people been coming over the border and now they are saying that, you know, well, we're having compassion on them so that they can have a better life? No, they're violating the rules when they're coming over. And now what's happening is that what do they call that? The proof is in the pudding type of scenario.
Yeah.
All right. So now you have New York that is now that rent planes to take people back to their countries because they have violated the rules. You have Chicago, Denver, Seattle, New York that are in such financial problems because of the influx of people. And it's like, okay, I'm sorry that this is happening and it shouldn't have happened because of a violation of our own laws. Okay, couldn't you see that this is the direction you were going? That's the thing. Why is it that people are not hitting them like Governor Abbott down in Texas? He's pleading with them. Listen, it's got to stop. And when he started sending people to the other parts of the country, then they finally understood because it came to them and they had to deal with it. And now all of a sudden things are changing. But it's too late.
Yeah.
It's too late because we have millions of people that are here and we don't know what they're doing here. I was watching something last night. on a video where ranchers in southern Texas, you know, they had to fortify their homes because the cartel has entered there. Mm-hmm. They can't go outside without carrying a gun. They have wire mesh screens over their windows. They have fortified doors so they can't break in because there's nobody to protect them. They're so far out in the country. But now there's so many of them that are willing to take from them, you know, and it's just exploding. It's just the beginning.
Oh, yeah, exactly. And, you know, the cities are like, the government has to give us the money to take care of this, you know. So in other words, you know, the government doesn't have money. So what they want to do, you know, is print some more. You know, well, that'll fix the problem, you know, because there's no doubt that Bidenomics has virtually destroyed the finances of this nation. I mean, it wasn't just him. It's been going on since Nixon, you know, that you can't print worthless money and continue to flood the economy with it because it just generates this massive inflation that we've seen to the point where people can't afford to buy anything anymore. And we're there. We're already there. You know, people can't pay credit cards, car loans, can't pay their house payments or rent or anything like that. Have you seen all this stuff as well?
It's so we knew it was coming, but it was a smaller percentage that was going on, right? And it's like a cautionary tale. I guess because of my parents going through the Depression, my grandparents going through it, you know, I've watched them go from paycheck to paycheck, you know, and there's enough things that have happened in my life that I have always planned my life that if the ducks aren't in a row, I don't do it. Meaning that if I can't see that, like let's say, for instance, when I bought a home in a community not far from here decades ago when I was raising my kids, the thing was is that I wanted it to be on one income, right? And that income had a certain amount of overtime that was there. Now, that enabled my wife not to work and focus on taking care of the kids until later on in life. Because stuff happens, you know, you have economic turns. The thing that was the overleveraging in the 1929 stock market crash, right? It was a free and easy street. Everybody thought this was going to go on forever until it didn't, you know. And now what we're having is that we've had this free money and this easy money that has been going on. And now all of a sudden the consequences are coming. No. And so the consequences are hitting people, and now they're losing their jobs, higher inflation's absorbing more of their income. And so they're reverting to paying for things on their credit cards, and their credit cards are getting maxed out. Yep. Now people aren't even paying their mortgages, and they're being evicted. You know, they're going into foreclosure, and the cycle is just ramping up. It's almost, it's out of control already.
Yeah. Well, there's a lot of people that, you know, they've just like, you know, this basically from hip went COVID, you know, because that's when people were losing their jobs and all this other stuff, you know. And when people stop buying things, then companies don't make money. And that means they got to lay off people as a result of that. And that tightens the belts of families even more, you know. So it's just a death spiral, you know, to use the aviation symbology. Once you enter a spin and the proper way to get out of the spin is to push the ailerons in and give it some speed, and the plane will naturally bottom out and come back up again. But if you try and pull back because that nose is pointing down, the natural reaction is to pull back. It just accelerates the spin, and you never recover out of it. It's called a death spiral. And that's what happens when the economy goes bad. People stop buying. When people stop buying, the industries and companies stop making money, so they got to cut back and lay off people, and that makes people cut back even more. And that's where we're at right now. I'm sure you've seen things like this as well.
Yes, and that's the scary part, is that where will it end? Now, most of the time, you know, we have people that have been trying to give you the alarm, and they wind up being demonized. Okay, so when I saw something yesterday, and that was, it was the first time that I had seen it. And the thing that I had seen was someone in a governmental office came out and said, listen, as a nation, we're broke. Mm-hmm. Well, we've been broke for a long time, right? But finally, somebody is saying, listen, we're broke. And so what happens then is that the value of the cash, I used this analogy before, but, you know, I don't know how many times people have listened to the programs in the past. So let me use this as an analogy. And it was like about 1937, my father bought a house in the southwest corner of Chicago for $9,000. Okay. So 70 years later, right, that same house was put on the market for $240,000. Okay. Amen. All right. So what does that tell you? What happened to the money? The money became less and less and less and less until now you gotta have a wheelbarrow full of money to buy the same house that you did for $9,000.
Yep.
And Amen. That's what we're seeing happening. The money is getting consumed.
This affects the mortgage industry. The mortgage industry is collapsing. People just can't afford to buy houses anymore, which also means if people can't buy houses, that means other people can't sell their houses. And then another major sector of the economy falls by the wayside.
Yes.
You know? They keep trying to help the lower class wage earners. You know, that's the whole thing. Well, those that don't have much, let's help them. And we'll take it from the people that do and give it to them, right? And many states are now mandating a minimum wage hike of $15 per hour. And in some places, like California, they're floating the idea of $30 an hour. One delegate here in Maryland tried to get a bill in for $50 an hour.
Yeah.
$50 an hour, $30 an hour to work at McDonald's.
Yeah.
Things like that. McDonald's was never meant to be a career other than unless you were going to be in management and have your own store and stuff like that. Yeah. It is an introduction to the work environment for teenagers in school, you know, to learn how to actually function as part of a team and stuff like that. But, you know, $30 an hour, the only way a business, they were interviewing a business, I can't remember where it was, but they were on the news and talking to them, and they said the only way that we could survive something like that is to raise our prices. But like a restaurant only makes about 5% profit on a meal, right?
Yeah.
So, and that's with the wait staff at, you know, $3.50 an hour, but they get their tips. And, you know, they say if, you know, they raise this to $15 an hour, you know, we have to raise our prices. If we raise our prices, people are going to stop coming. People stop coming, I'm going to have to lay off the wait staff. So they go, oh, $15 an hour, yeah, $30 an hour, whoopee. And then 2 months later, we don't need you, you know, because instead of having 40 tables to serve and, you know, maybe 8 wait staff, we're only averaging 4 or 5 tables a night and one person can take care of it, you know? And that's, you know, people have to tighten their belts. That means they're going to stop going out to eat. You know, that's why restaurant sales are tanking and stuff right now. Have you seen anything on that?
Yes, that's sad because people like to go out and be able to enjoy a nice meal out. And which brings an introduction to a weird phenomenon, I'll come back to this, is that you may have seen this, and the listeners may have seen this too, where, and I can't remember where the city was, but it was a small cafe, and someone had like a $30 bill and tipped the waitress $10,000, right? And so what happened is that he said, and I'd like you to divide this equally amongst the staff, right? 2 weeks later, the woman is fired. Right. Someone complained about the distribution, the amount of distribution to each other. And there was such infighting and backbiting that had taken place is that they figured, well, she was the cause of all this, you know, and they wind up firing her. Now she's out of a job. And that's what happens is that, you know, it's like throwing food into a fish pond. Right.
Yeah.
You know, it becomes a free for all. Everybody wants a bigger piece of this and a bigger piece of that. And so here you have the generosity of this single person trying to really bless people, and it's really turned into a nightmare. And then you have people that are just trying to work to earn a living, put food on the table, keep a roof over their head, the basic things, and it's not working because of prices being out of control. Plus, what really isn't well is this thing about governmental intrusion by agreement. And what I mean by that is that the people are agreeing with the government to intrude into these different areas of our life and industries because they believe that it's actually going to improve things. But time and time again, what has happened, it proves that, no, it becomes a disaster.
Yep, yep, amen. Tom, we're about out of time, but we can't let things go with, because we discussed a lot today, but we can't leave without discussing something that has to deal with space. We're always talking about the signs and the stars and all this stuff. A few weeks ago, there was a massive cell phone outage with AT&T.
Oh, yeah.
And come to find out, they say there was a big solar flare. At least that's what they're saying now. Have you seen information on how an increase in solar flares is going to cause even greater havoc on Earth than normal?
Well, there seems to be two things that are going on at the same time. Now, the day that was the solar flare, of course, it didn't affect me and it didn't affect my phone, but I was not able to get on the internet. And this one guy that is the predicts the weather and solar flares and things of this sort, he brought out the correlation. He goes, now, wait a minute. All right, because they were contributing it to hacking. Now, we have a hacking problem, and it's showing up all over the place. But the time of this outage was exactly at the height of this solar flare, right? And so that gives a little bit more credence to me that these solar flares do affect us, and we're seem to be in a point now where we're getting increasingly bigger solar flares in the X category. What do you think?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, well, let's say in another 10 million years, the sun's going to go dark. But, you know, I don't think we'll be much caring by that point in time. But, yeah, there's, you know, again, all I can say is, you know, Jesus prophesied that in the last and final days, there would be signs in the stars, moon and stars and all of that. And you know, there's no doubt that they can predict that stuff, not probably, you know, 100%, but they are able to, you know, I've seen some videos like, you know, in 2 weeks, there's going to be this big solar flare because they're observing, you know, as we're rotating around the sun or the sun's rotating or something, that these things are happening because they got satellites that just watch the sun. But, you know, why couldn't a hacker say, well, if this is going to happen in 2 weeks, let's go ahead and you know, we'll do what we need to do, and they'll blame it on the solar flare.
Could be.
You know? Yeah, I mean, that's, I firmly believe there's somebody out there that, you know, if not, we just planted the seed. But you
know. Well, okay. So I think as we're wrapping up here, the important part is that we have moved away from God, and God has moved away from us, and we are seeing the consequences. You can go back in the Bible and you can read over and over again that the complexities of life got increased as people moved away from God. Now, we don't want to acknowledge the fact that that God is prominent or that we need God in our society. But as it's falling apart, more people are seeing, well, maybe it'd be worth my time to go back to church. Maybe it'd be worth it to look into this, because it's falling apart to where human beings are not going to be able to solve this problem. No, they're trying to, and it's not, because darkness is just ruling over things and ruining people's lives. And to the extent that you have San Francisco being called a zombie apocalypse, you know, you know, and so society is falling apart, and it says we have moved away from God. He has moved away from us. And these are the consequences. When you turn on the news, it's the consequences.
Yep. Amen. That's true. Amen. We have to leave it there, Tom. We're all out of time for today. Before we go, though, you know, I want you to pray for this nation, for revival to come to this nation right now. Can you do that?
Oh, that'd be an honor. Yes, thank you. Dear Father God, we lift up to you America, and we ask, Lord, that we have many, many sins that we have committed, and grave sins, Lord. I mean, grievous. And Lord, we are sorry for the sins and the pain that these sins have caused you and Jesus and the Holy Spirit. And Father, we ask that you would please forgive them. And Father, we ask that there be a tsunami wave of your Holy Spirit that go from coast to coast and in our territories and our states outside of the boundaries, outside of the coast, mainland. And that, Lord, that you would renew us in a relationship with you, and that you would breathe your breath of life into our churches, and that the goodness of God would reside in people in mass. Father, we need you, and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Praise God. And Tom, we're all out of time for today. If someone wanted to reach out to you, ask a question, how can they do that?
That would be, they can get a hold of me at my email address, which is healingthenation1776@gmail.com.
Amen. Folks, after hearing all this today, is there any doubt that we're not living in the last of the last days? I mean, praise God for it, because Jesus even said, blessed are your eyes because you see, you know, the prophets of old desire to see the things that you see that couldn't see them. But blessed are your eyes because you see them. You hear them. You know what's happening. This is the culmination of everything. We're here for a reason, and that reason is to share the gospel. Praise God. The technology's here. We can share the gospel far and wide, a lot easier than anybody has ever been doing it before. So get involved. Go to church. Tell your pastor, man, you need to watch this podcast. They told me to come here, and that's why I'm here. And just get them involved in the bless your pastors. Amen. Glory to God. Time, we're all out of time. Praise God. Till next time, folks. This is Pastor Bob reminding you. Be blessed in all that you do.
You have been listening to Revelation Warning with Pastor Robert Thibodeau and his guest expert on Bible prophecy as it relates to current events. This podcast is not designed to invoke fear, but concern. Help us to make everyone aware that the soon return of Jesus is close at hand by clicking the like, subscribe, and then share buttons below. Share this episode with your loved ones, friends, and coworkers. For more information on our ministry, please visit podcasterforchrist.com and be sure to come back next week for another episode of Revelation Warning.